This is Night Call, the first and only nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tonight's subject, can television news tell it like it is? Tonight's guest, NBC News correspondent Bob Teague. Night Call is your program. Share your opinions and ideas with the rest of the country. Speak for yourself and ask your questions directly by calling Night Call in New York City from anywhere in North America. Here are Night Call's special phone numbers. From the East and Midwest, call collect at area code 212-749-3311. From the West at 212-749-3357. And from the New York area at 866-5010. Now from New York City, Night Call's host, Del Shields.
Good evening. Tonight, Night Call takes a look at a broadcast competitor, television. Our question, how good a job does TV do in giving us the news the way it really happens? Our guest is Bob Teague of NBC News. He is a black man. Mr. Teague first grabbed the public imagination as a football player at the University of Wisconsin. He went from there into newspaper work, and then into television news. He is also the author of a new book. It's called Letters to a Black Boy. The black boy is his own son. And in that book, the real Bob Teague stands up and speaks loud and clear. A couple of sample quotes. I deeply believe that each man owes it to himself and to his son to reject the stipulation of his time. Otherwise, he would never change for the better. And I am at odds with the main theme of this society, and I still dream of the man I could have been if they had left me alone, unquote. Mr. Teague is standing by now in New York City to answer your questions about television news and about Bob Teague. Mr. Teague, good evening, sir.
Thank you, Del. Nice to be aboard.
Thank you so much for being with us. Let's begin our conversation tonight by asking this question of you. Can television news really tell it like it is?
Well, Del, I would say yes and no in that, first of all, television can't tell it all because television news particularly is a very compendium of the day's events, and we're working against time at all times, which means that in a given, say, half-hour newscast, which I do on weekends, for example, we may have actually 19 minutes in a half-hour to really deal with the news. The rest of the time we've got promos, commercials, and so on. And the weather, things like that, so that we can't tell it all. But the part that we do tell, I think, in television, we tell with a clarity and with an impact, I think, that no other medium can match. So what it can tell, I think it does really tell it like it is in a way that hasn't been told before television. So, but the letdown of television is the fact that it is so limited in how much time it has to cover the broad scope of what really is happening out there.
In working in a visual medium, do we not at times, do the producer at times, kind of favor the visual impact as opposed to, and I'm going to say, quote, unquote, the truthful aspects?
Yes, that does happen, Del. Not just once in a while, but happens very often. Like, for example, in the shows that I do on NBC, I am the producer on one show that I do, the sole producer. Another show, I'm a co-producer, and I do the broadcasting. And if we have a choice between a story that has good pictures, what we call good picture content with it, and a story that has less good picture content with it, we will more often than not opt for the more colorful, more picturesque story, the one that has the best pictures with it. The name of the game is putting on pictures. Now, if there is a story of such overriding significance, of course, that has no pictures at all, of course, it is of such great importance, then, of course, we would take the duller story, shall we say. But ordinarily speaking, the stories being more or less equal in terms of their significance and relevancy, we would take the more picturesque story. I have a saying, for example, that says television news is like about 75% news and 25% show business. That's my own personal evaluation. That's not an official policy.
You stated that you are a producer of one of your television shows and co-producer of the other. Mm-hmm. Now, how involved are most of the television commentators whom we see on television? Involved in terms of producing and in terms of actually being involved in the writing and putting together the show?
Well, first of all, we got to talk about network and local. On a broadcast such as Huntley Brinkley that goes coast to coast, they will have a producer who is making the final decisions. Now, he will perhaps consult with them and respect their wishes and judgments, but he has the final say-so. Now, when you come to the local situation, my broadcasts are local in the sense that they do not go coast to coast. They go throughout the East Coast, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and some parts of Massachusetts and Pennsylvania. Now, this is called local. In a local situation, the talent, that is the man who does the broadcasting, very often is the producer or co-producer. Now, I do five shows a week, and three of those shows, I am the producer. I have make all the decisions myself. On the two weekend shows that I do, I have a producer who will make the final decision, but he consults me, and we usually work together, so it's a joint decision more often than not. Now, as I say, on the network level, where you're dealing with switches to Washington, to San Diego, and Chicago, and so on, you will have an overall producer who is more or less removed from the talent, but he will consult with them on matters, yes. And as far as the writing of it goes, for example, now on my shows, where I am the producer and co-producer, I will physically write, I would say, about 75% of everything I say on the air. I have a staff that helps me, of course, and they write some, but I use them primarily to edit videotape, edit film, and take care of the production side of the thing.
Is it possible that a television commentator can influence the news with certain gestures or the nod of the head or a wink or a smile?
Well, I think that can be done, but I have seen very little of it myself, personally. That is, what I have done myself and what I've seen on the air, both at my own station and at other stations. I don't want to sound too chauvinistic, Del, but I must say that I think that the breed of television journalists that we're turning out today are men who recognize that they have an enormous responsibility because they have potentially an enormous piece of power at their command, and that power should not be abused. And I would say that most of us, most of my colleagues that I have worked with and seen on the air, bend over backward to try and avoid doing that. We try to be right down the middle, try not to take sides, try not to do anything that we think is going to be an abuse of that tremendous power that we potentially have.
We have watched over the past year, or perhaps the past 2 years, an attempt at the networks to add to their news commentating staff a more and more black men. Now, are the black commentators, the black news directors or the news analysts, are they able to tell it like it is?
Del, I can only answer for myself, being a black man in television. I have no idea what is happening with, black men across the country who are in the same medium, just what their particular situation is. I can tell you in my own case that this is the case. The management has certain standards that it sets for broadcasting generally. And everybody who broadcasts is supposed to meet those standards. That is, there are certain things you cannot say on the air, you're not supposed to editorialize, and so on. But your judgment, they go with you because you are supposed to be hired not only because you can broadcast, because you are a newsman with a sense of judgment. And they go with your judgment. Now, once in a while, a given white or black newscaster may err, you see. But what you're going with is a man's judgment. And if your judgment proves too bad let's say not right too many times, you won't be on the air very long. But as long as you are exercising good judgment and not abusing your power, no one is riding herd on you. I have not seen anyone really riding herd on a broadcaster at my station, whether it be white or black. No one stands over them and goes over his copy and tries to make sure that a certain point of view is projected and so on. But now, I think that your question may also have built into it how much can a black correspondent say about racial matters, for example. Well, there again, in my case, I try to give the news. And I give the news about blacks and about whites and about Vietnam and about Paris and about the French franc crisis and everything else. And whatever story I'm giving, I try to tell it like it is to the best of my ability without showing any kind of favoritism. So I would say generally most stations and most broadcasters I have talked with about this are not limited in this respect. The station goes with this man's judgment. Now, when his judgment proves faulty, as I say, he probably will be taken off the air.
This is Night Call in New York, and our conversation tonight, Can Television News Tell It Like It Is? And our guest calling in from New York City is NBC News correspondent Mr. Bob Teague. And before I give out our special night call numbers, I'd like to remind you that the sooner you call in with your questions or your comments, the better chance you have to get on the air with them. And our telephone numbers, if you're calling in from New York City, is 866-5010. That's 866-5010. If you're calling from the East or the Midwest, it's area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. If you're calling us from the West Coast, it's area code 212-749-3357. That's area code 212-749-3357. We'll take our first call tonight from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Mr. Mates is hearing night call over WAMO. Mr. Mates?
Yes, Mr. Shields.
Good evening, sir. Fine, thank you. How are you?
Pretty good. I am involved in educational radio, and I would like to say a few things about both radio and TV and also pose a question. I believe first that a statement and a question would be in order for your guest tonight. A while back, Harry Belafonte said that since 25% of the black people of the people in this country are black, that 25% of TV should be devoted to black people, run by black people, and programming for and with black people. I'd like to know what Mr. Teague would think of that.
Very, very good. I've heard that question before, or ideas of that similar nature expressed. My feeling is this. I don't believe in a quota system for anything. I believe in merit. Now, this country's a long way from accepting people as individuals and judge them on their abilities. But I think that is what we are aiming at. I don't think we're aiming at a situation whereby something is done to you or for you because you are black. That has been the whole bag up to now as I see it. So what I want to happen is this. If a black man comes into a situation, whether it be broadcasting or banking, and there's an opening that he can fill, he gets the job, whether there are any black people there already or if it's all black, you see. Because I don't think there's any quota set up for Lithuanians or Croatians or any other white ethnic group. I think what this country is aiming for is an open society whereby a man can go and fit into any place he has the ability to fit in. And it is not based upon the fact that you must give me this because I am black or you must give me this because I am Jewish. You get what you can qualify for is what I think that what an open society means. So I would say I would be opposed to a system whereby you arbitrarily just place black people here and there and yon because of the fact that they make up a certain percentage of the population. I think that I would rather push for an open society so that if there were a situation whereby there were already 50% of the people, personnel there were black, and they had another opening, another black man came along who could do that job, he also would be hired. They might have 59% in some cases. They may have 100% in some cases. But again, it would be based on that man's ability, his merit. I don't think we want to base a society on racial stratification. I think that would be a tragic, tragic era, almost as tragic as the situation we're in now, whereby black people are simply denied. But I don't think we want to move in the direction of quotas.
May I just enter here just a moment, gentlemen? Is it not possible, Mr. Teague, that Mr. Belafonte's statement was based not primarily but at least in some area of attempting to provoke the networks or provoke television into expanding or increasing the amount of coverage for blacks?
In that context, I'm not putting Harry Belafonte down for a moment because I believe that every black man has to make his own kind of evaluation of the situation and try and attack it where he can. And very often, a very extreme proposal such as that will make the power structure move to some degree, you see. So that I do not put down people who make what I would call perhaps extremist statements, because the extremist statements make the more moderate point of view listened to more often, you see. So I don't want anybody to stop talking about that by any stretch of the imagination. But I do think that we want to move toward an open society, not a society based on racial quotas in any respect, whether it's housing or jobs or union membership or anything, but on the basis of a man's ability, this is where it's at.
Dale?
Yes, sir.
Before I state one more point, I'd like to say that I would agree with Mr. Teague on what he has said. My next point is concerning radio stations per se. Getting away from educational radio, which I'm involved in an announcing capacity, and I'm a student at a university, and this is an FM university station, one that actually broadcasts through antennas. But regular commercial broadcasting. Now, the station that I am listening to Night Call on right now is WAMO FM, and it's a black station, black managed, and
it's not a black owned station. It's a station that
It's run by black people and for black people. And then you look at the rest of the city of Pittsburgh, and you see the white stations where there are, except for one station in the city, every other station there, you will not find a black person really on the station. Now, this seems to be pretty much so with radio. You don't find any one station where you have black people and white people, you know, working side by side, programming for both, and I think this
may I interrupt here for a moment, because I think I understand the gist of your question. I think I have a comment that can save us a little bit of time and get some more people a chance to call. First of all, until very recently, broadcasting was so closed, that is, the normal commercial broadcasting was so closed to black people, that very few black people prepared themselves for jobs in it. Like when I went to journalism school back in the 1940s, for example, I was the only black person in that journalism school. And people say, what do you want to do when you get out of school? I say, I want to work on a big newspaper. They say, are you crazy? Well, that's what so many black people have had in their minds about so many professions that were more or less closed, you see. So that right now there are more opportunities for black people in broadcasting than there are black people to fill them. Because from what I have seen, many stations which have written me in the South, in the West, the North, the East, and all over, are very anxious to find, you know, black people who can fill in some of these jobs and to give black people a better representation. But as I say, the thing has been closed for so long, very few black people have taken that long shot gamble and really prepared themselves for a job in this field. Now, pursuant to that, broadcasting has gone further. This past summer, 1968, I worked on a part-time basis with the Ford Foundation, which had a crash program at the Columbia School of Journalism, and it trained 20 black and Puerto Rican people from the ghettos across the country. It was a pilot project, and all of them, I think, about 18 out of that 20, are now working in broadcasting as a result of having gone through that crash program. So as I say, the effort is being made, but they are finding that even when they have openings, the people are not there very often because it has been closed for so long. But I do want to say that I think that broadcasting generally is making an effort, is making a real effort.
Mr. Mates, thank you so much for calling, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York. We'll return to our guest, Mr. Bob Teague, following station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest NBC News correspondent Bob Teague after station identification.
The most obvious symbols of today's affluent society are the outdoor barbecue and the sports car. The most incongruous is the rat. According to the 1960 census, more than 4 million urban dwellings were completely dilapidated. 3 million more were badly deteriorated. And another 2 million had serious code violations or were overcrowded. If building codes were enforced, most ghetto buildings would be boarded up. During the 1930s, we saved the farms from starvation. Now the cities need help before they die of neglect. If you think there's nothing you can do to help, think harder.
Send for the free booklet, The Turning Point. Write Night Call, Pomona, New York. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself, collect from anywhere in North America to guest NBC News correspondent Bob Teague about Can Television News Tell It Like It Is? Call Night Call Collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357, and from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And tonight, our conversation, Can Television News Tell It Like It Is? And our guest calling in from New York is NBC News correspondent Mr. Bob Teague. And this time, we'll take a local call. Mr. Naiman is hearing Night Call over WRVR-FM. Mr. Naiman?
Yes, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
I'd like to ask you one question, if I may. How do you think TV can improve their news?
I would say, first of all, I would like to see TV news have more time so that we were not so pressed for time all the time, and we have to really condense the news to such a point that we can only really cover two or three stories in depth and more or less just hit the highlights of several others. And on the same thing with our film reports, we could only give, say, more than a minute to, say, one or two pieces. The other pieces have to be very, very short. And we never can tell it all, as I say. The part that we tell very well, but we need more time. That's the first point. Secondly, I would like to see television news emphasize some more of the positive things that happen every day rather than only the negative. Because basically news, as it is portrayed today, whether it's newspapers, radio, or TV, is what happened bad today. I think there are a lot of fine things that happen every day that never get heard about in any of the media. I think that people who do something worthwhile for their communities, for their cities, for their families and whatnot, deserve some recognition to encourage more of that sort of thing. For example, I think it could be a real public service to give a little bit more of the positive side. So it's in these two areas, more time to tell more of it like it is, and to get a little bit more of the positive news in as well as the negative.
Do you think the announcers should have more time to editorialize, to give their own opinions on the air?
I would like to see every station have one program either every day or every week that would give opinions. I don't want to have, I personally would not like to see editorializing done on each and every newscast. I would like to have a special show that people would tune into and know that on this show you're going to get opinions. And they can either listen or not listen, you know, but I don't want to have them exposed to that every day when they get their news. Like, it should be something like a weekend news roundup with opinions, let's say, a summary of the week's top stories, let's say, like a magazine does, with editorial comment. Now, once a week like that, I think would be a very good idea, yes.
Okay, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you very much. You were doing a great job.
Thank you. Mr. Teague, in reference to the editorials that seem to be the vogue now on most of the stations, someone mentioned a couple of months ago that the editorials as given out on news or given out in the communications industry, there has been very, very little provocative kinds of editorials, which there has been, like, you know, the opposing answers coming through. Are the stations really getting into this area of not only provoking, but making some strong statements as opposed to just coming out with a very bland kind of posture?
Well, I think you've hit it on the head exactly, Del. I don't think they're really digging in where they do give editorials. I think that television we're still talking about a very young industry. Television is less than 30 years old, I think. So it's feeling its way. This medium is not yet really flexed its muscles to its fullest. It does not really know what its full potential is. And it's proceeding very cautiously, very gingerly. And the FCC is watching it very closely and also with a certain amount of a wonder about where is it going to go from here. So that you got to remember that all these things are really growing pains television is going through, and it's going to evolve. So right now, I would agree that most of the editorials I have heard local stations doing, you know, are about things that people are not really up in arms about to begin with. They are not the real relevances of our day, it seems to me, and there is certainly a much more room for comment on much more specific and vital issues of our time. And I don't think that the news editorial is done by some impersonal station manager or, you know, some hierarchy person whom you never see otherwise has as much impact if it were done by a recognized on-the-air personality once a week or something like that. So I don't really think they're doing a good job in that respect. Yes, I would agree fully. But I think it is going to change again because this is a very young industry.
Our conversation tonight, Can Television News Tell It Like It Is? Our guest calling in from New York is NBC News correspondent Mr. Bob Teague. This time out to Detroit, Michigan, Mr. Nyson is hearing Night Call over WJLB. Mr. Nyson?
Yes, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
May I ask the first question? How is it? Can television tell it how it is? How is it?
Well, here's the thing now. television without taking an editorial point of view, let's say, for example, is what I mean, basically. Television, and let's take the race question, for example. The Kerner Commission report, as you know, has charged or stated that this society, this country, is moving toward two separate but unequal societies. Now, without television coming out and saying this point blank, here's what television does. It covers a story in a black ghetto, a black concentration camp. It covers a story in the suburbs of, say, Grosse Pointe, Michigan. You can see how white people live. You can see how black people live. I'm saying, without making any editorial comment whatsoever, the picture is there. It brings about a reality that cannot be denied by any amount of propaganda. The same is true on what is happening throughout this country. People who only have a fuzzy notion, let's say, about what's going on in Vietnam, you know, now know exactly, or much more accurately, I should say, what's going on in Vietnam, because the pictures are right there. You see a kid who is a victim of a napalm bombing. You see a whole city destroyed by an accidental Allied attack, and so on. So, and I'm suggesting to you that in the past, before television came along, when something like that would happen, say, in Vietnam, it was so far away and so fuzzy that the politicians and what have you could tell us almost anything, that by the time the truth caught up with them, you know, everybody forgot the lie that was told. But television is so quick in that respect, it brings about a reality just by telling what it sees, you see. So I'm saying that I think that television is actually a very accidental but very powerful ally of the black revolution. This, by the way, is one of the central points I make in my book, Letters to a Black Boy. I'm talking about how television, without trying, is really helping the black revolution a great deal simply by putting on those pictures.
Well, I agree with you, and I think a good job has been done, as you say, more or less accidentally. What I'm wondering is, how can this be done in a realistic, systematic way, and intentionally rather than accidentally? For example, one of the biggest problems that the Urban Coalition have in the various cities in which they are located, including Detroit, is that they would like to learn about the black problem, they would like to learn from black leaders, only they don't know who they are, and they don't know how to communicate.
Well, I would say this is what's going to have to happen. See, television, in a sense, cannot be a follower. It has so much power, and everybody's afraid of it. And the point that I try to make in my book is this: until the federal government commits itself, I mean in a real, public, and determined way, that it is going to absolutely eradicate racism, or at least bring about compliance to the laws that deal with this area, you see, so that this government is on record as being absolutely committed and making a real enforcement effort, you see, to say this is wrong and we're going to fix it. Now, once the government takes a lead, then when television steps beyond the normal veil of being just right down the middle and objective, you see, it is merely carrying out or reflecting an official government policy. But I don't think television has the guts, and perhaps wisely so, because of the lawsuit situation and all that, they could get itself into all kinds of trouble, cannot afford to take the lead, you see. Now, you must remember that television is played for very big stakes. Everything you do on the air, you know, involves hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars in many cases. Now, when you step out there in a bold move like taking the lead in the black revolution, let's say, and you've got a station or a network that you're dealing with in millions of dollars in stockholders, you want to be awfully doggone sure that you don't wind up with such a kind of lawsuit that puts you out of business or have the FCC revoke your license. So you see what I mean? When the government of this country is so committed to eradicating racism, then television can do a much better job, and I think it will.
And how would you suggest that that the television influence it? For example, both or all the major candidates apparently absolutely refused to even mention the Kerner Commission report, as far as I can remember, in the last presidential election. Do you think that television can influence the acceptance of the basic premise of the Kerner Commission report?
Well, not television by itself. I think television can only be a mirror, again, right now. Television is more of a mirror than a leader. And so what I think has to be done is for black people, generally, particularly those who are recognized as leaders and do have for television as a forum, to start making the point day by day that we don't want any more laws passed on civil rights. We don't want any more crash program. We want the laws that we already have enforced.
I agree with you.
Mr. Nyson? Mr. Nyson? Mr. Nyson and Mr. Teague, we must beg for station identification. Thank you so much for calling, sir. This is Night Call in New York. We'll return to our guest, Mr. Bob Teague, following station identification.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest NBC News correspondent Bob Teague after station identification. Night Call welcomes your comments about this nationwide listener call-in program. Your opinions and reactions are of value to the producers of Night Call in their continuing attempt to initiate and stimulate dialogue between the black man in the street and his white counterpart. Please address your comments to Night Call, Pomona, New York, zip 10970. That's Night Call, Pomona, New York, zip 10970. The producers of Night Call attempt to balance the points of view presented on this series about controversial issues. In keeping with this traditional concern for free expression on controversial matters, Night Call invites requests for equal time from responsible representatives on opposing points of view if it's thought they have not been adequately represented on the air. Such requests should be addressed to Night Call, Pomona, New York, zip 10970. That's Night Call, Pomona, New York, zip 10970. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself collect from anywhere in North America to guest NBC News correspondent Bob Teague about Can Television News Tell It Like It Is? Call Night Call Collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And welcome to the Night Call stations who join us for the second half hour each evening. Tonight, our conversation, Can Television News Tell It Like It Is, with our guest, NBC News correspondent Mr. Bob Teague. And we'll begin this half hour by going out to Iowa City, Iowa. Mr. Smith is hearing Night Call over WSUI. Mr. Smith?
Good evening, Mr. Teague.
Good evening.
I was hearing several years ago there was a television program on the air. It wasn't a news program, but it did co-star a Negro actor. And I heard one of the reasons that this program was discontinued was because the ratings fell down sharply because of the prejudice of most people towards Negroes. I was wondering if you found this problem true in your reporting for NBC.
No, I have not. I have also covered stories in the North and the South and the West and so on for NBC News, as well as in New York City. And I find that television sort of cuts through a lot of that in the sense that people feel they know you, you're part of the family because you're in their living rooms or in their bedrooms in many cases. I do a late-night newscast in New York City, for example, and people often are just about to go to bed when I come on. And so that I find that people who see you on television tend to regard you as someone they know, as a friend and so on. I think that the whole black versus white syndrome gets lost in the familiarity of a recognizable personality.
You were mentioning earlier in the program that you do a regional telecast throughout several eastern states.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been any discussion to put this on in southern states? And if so, do you think the reaction there would be as good?
Well, as I say, I have done network broadcasts from time to time on the recent elections, on the recent conventions, both Miami Beach and Chicago. I did broadcasts there that were seen coast to coast. And I get fan mail, believe it or not, from the South sometimes, very often. So, again, I think television does a great deal to, cut through a lot of these things whereby people may look at you one way because you were black. But if you're on television, I think it does make a difference to people. But again, I must point out, though, that, of course, on television, I am giving the news. I am not on television criticizing racists, for example, usually, you see.
Well, Mr. Teague, you're speaking of periodic assignments as opposed to a continuous assignment on a Monday through Friday basis.
Yes.
Is that true?
Uh-huh.
Well, at this point, there is there any Negro employed or any black man employed on a continuing basis, such as on the Huntley Brinkley show or on the CBS and the ABC shows? Are most blacks confined to just regional?
Well, very recently, for example, at my station, we have a young black man named Lem Tucker who does reports on the Huntley Brinkley show almost every week. He is not what you would call assigned to that show specifically, but when there is a hard news story in New York City and Lem is either exceptionally qualified to cover it or it's his turn to cover a story, he does do it. So Lem has been on the Huntington Breaking Report, for example, almost two or three times a week for the past month since we've had the Ocean Hill-Brownsville school crisis here, the teacher strike. So that, and also we have Bill Matney working out of the Midwest, out of the Chicago office, who also does periodic reports on our Coast to Coast network. So that I won't say that it's not their show, you understand. I don't know of any black man who is doing a network show daily in any network. But do you foresee appear on our station very regularly across the country.
Do you foresee this in the near future?
Oh yes. I think that will happen. Yes, I think it will. But again, you must remember, as I say, how many black people, how many Lem Tuckers and Bill Matneys took the chance on studying journalism, say 10 or 12 years ago. You must remember, these are not kids I'm talking about. Bill and Lem are not kids, and neither am I. And a newsman in television, not someone who can simply go on camera and talk. That's not what he is at all. He's also not just a pretty boy. Obviously, I wouldn't be in the business. But a newsman in television is really a newsman first. That's what these people are. And whether you're talking about David Brinkley or Chet Huntley or Walter Cronkite, you are talking about men with literally decades of news gathering experience before television was invented. These people, you know, worked in newspapers, the wire services, the magazines, and so on, and learn how to be good reporters. That's where it's at. And as I say, very few black people took that gamble because the journalism profession in general was so closed for so long. For example, at most New York stations, the general criteria is 5 years of experience for a major news gathering organization. That's their hiring qualification.
Well, that immediately
exactly.
Eliminates most blacks.
Exactly. So as I say, you've got to remember that the number of black men who took that gamble back in 1950 or 1945, you see, who were ready when this opportunity became available, are very, very few. But more and more black people are going into it now that it has opened up. And as I say, I am sure that in a very near future, we will see just that, a black man regularly coast to coast.
What else? This brings up another question in my mind. Is there more openings, like in journalism school currently, because the black man is being accepted at the top, is there more of a chance for him to break in at the bottom?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that question.
Well, is there more of a chance for a black man to break in at the bottom? I imagine that, you know, when you did it, there was quite a bit of discrimination had you gone to various places. And I'm wondering if possibly this has eased because the black man is being accepted at the top of the rung.
Well, as I say, I think that generally the broadcasting industry, the part of it that I've come in contact with, not only my own station, but generally in broadcasting, I have found many what I would consider fair-minded people who are really making an effort in that direction. So as I say, they are almost consciously looking for people, you know, who can do the job. Now, I haven't met anyone who wants to put a black man on who can do the job. You see, but I do think that if there are qualified black people who can do that work, there are stations, and I get letters from New Orleans, I get letters from Texas, I get letters from all over saying, do you know of anybody? We want to do this thing, you know. And since they have seen me, they think I know all these people who can who have the background to do it, which I don't, unfortunately.
I'd like to add a comment, though. I don't want to be a victim of giving the impression that the broadcasting industry is doing all that it is capable of doing.
No,
we
I
just
don't want
came
to say
back.
That either, but
right.
I'm only comparing the broadcasting industry with the rest of society. And
right,
I,
but I did want to.
It is making more of an effort, it seems to me, than most of society I've come in contact with.
Well, then we say, how much is society doing? But the question I wanted to raise is the fact that the industry is looking for men who have 5 years' experience, which automatically eliminates most of the blacks. And then if we develop some kind of crash program in which only 20 students are... I understand it's a pilot project.
Yes, now
but
next year I'm pretty sure it's going to be like 50 students because it was a very successful program.
All right, well, now let's talk about the practicality and the realism of it.
Yes.
I talked with... It was not your network, so... But I did talk with a representative of another network who said to me, and this was as short as about 3 months ago, who said that, well, not only are we looking for qualified black persons, but we're looking for black men who are terribly attractive.
Well, there you have it. As I say, they are trying at least. They are trying.
Well, I don't know if we have enough terribly attractive black men around. I said we've got a lot of talented ugly men.
Well, like I say, that is one of the names of the games in television, whether you're black or white. They do. If someone's going to come into someone's home day by day or night by night and so on, they do want reasonably good-looking people. Now, you can be good-looking and be black. You really can in television. I have found out because, you believe it or not, I get mail from females who say I'm a great sex symbol. And I don't go say to myself any matinee idol, but I'm telling you that's the nature of the game, that you can be black and be beautiful to white people, it seems, on television at least.
Mr. Smith, thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York. Our conversation, Can Television News Tell It Like It Is? Our guest is NBC News correspondent Mr. Bob Teague. This time to Bloomington, Indiana. Miss Toppin is here in Night Call over WFIU-FM. Miss Toppin?
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Good evening. Hello.
I'm here.
Yes, you're on, dear.
I'd like to just add a comment. Mr. Teague, you mentioned about improving TV news reports. And you mentioned about adding more positive news reports. I'd like to just say I definitely agree with you. I think that part of the reason that we have so much violence in this country, I don't mean just violence and racial riots and violence in Chicago, and there's also violence and the high crime rate. I think part of it is the fact that a large percentage, practically all of the news that you hear on the radio or television or read in the newspapers or anywhere is all the bad news reports. And I think we could eliminate a good portion of the violence and the crime in this country if we didn't publicize it so much.
Well, I'm not for suppressing these things, you understand. I just want to include some more of the other. I want to make room for some of these other things, too. Like I said, I want television news to have more time. I don't believe in sweeping things under the rug and pretending they are not there. I think that is a disservice and a dishonesty that I certainly would want to not be a party to. But I would like to have, say, a show in which in the last 5 minutes of the show or in the middle 5 minutes, I could devote an essay or a few vignettes, let's say, to some really positive things where people have done something in a public service nature or in a humanitarian sense that I think would be enlightening and encouraging to that element in our country and to try to provoke more of it. But I don't believe in suppressing the bad news, but I just want to include more of the good news.
I definitely agree with you. I think it's very important.
Well, suppression of the facts, I think, if you start suppressing news, I think you get into a very, very dangerous area. And I think that in a society that ours is based on, that is the principle that this country is supposed to be governed by the people, and the people have to be informed to know what's happening, what's really going on, to make intelligent decisions. And if you suppress from them what is happening, how can they make the right kind of decisions to make things right, you see? So I don't want to suppress news. I just want to include more news that deals with more things that are not covered sufficiently now, in my judgment.
Ms. Toppin, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York, and Television News Tell It Like It Is. Our conversation tonight with Mr. Bob Teague, an NBC News correspondent calling in from New York. This time out to Lubbock, Texas. Mr. Golay is hearing Night Call over KTXT-FM. Mr. Golay?
Yes, this is Skipper Golay, and do listen to KTXT-FM. In fact, I work on the news staff, and I'd like to ask Mr. Teague what his opinion on the fact that we hear a lot of complaints that television causes riots, such as the riots at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. What is your opinion on this?
I disagree with that entirely. I have been working in television now since about 1963, and I have been close to situations that were explosive and riotous. As a matter of fact, I was in Chicago during the Democratic riots, and I disagree that television causes riots. What happens is this, in my judgment. Sometimes a given demonstration, not riot, mind you, but a demonstration that is going to be held, they might adjust their timetable to make sure television is covered so they can make their point and get publicity. But no one stages a riot for television. I have never seen a riot staged for television. I think that there are so many deep-seated evils in this country, so many blatant wrongs that are there that have made people bitter, disenchanted, and so on, that they get into a situation that starts out peacefully, as Chicago started out peacefully, and then the establishment, in this case, the Chicago Police Department and Mayor Daley, stopped a peaceful march from Grand Park heading toward Dick Gregory's home. They
had a confrontation at Michigan Avenue, then violence erupted. But these people were not staging a riot for television. You see, we were there, and we were there from the beginning. So as I say, I disagree. I think that is, these are people who make that charge to me, looking for easy answers. These are the same people who say that there wouldn't be so much violence if black people were not duped by communists and communist agitators, you see. These people refuse to admit there are certain inherent evils in this country that have to be eradicated because people are mad, angry, and in a state of rebellion over them.
I see. Also, I'd like to ask, what is your opinion of the thing that we understand that sometimes they think the show business, the show aspect of television news, does it overbalance the journalist aspect?
We commented on that earlier before you joined us, sir. Briefly this, the showbiz aspect does play a part. Now, I don't think it plays the overwhelming part. I think my percentage, as I said, this is my own personal estimate, mind you, no one else's. I think television news is 75% news and 25% show business. And there are times when if we have two stories more or less equal in significance, we will opt for the, at least I will opt for the more picturesque story, the one with the best pictures. So that is a part of it. But again, that is going to change, I hope, because I think most people in the business now are very concerned about that and wish it weren't so, because it does limit you in some degree. But I'm not sure I can tell you exactly how we're going to solve it. But I do recognize the showbiz influence, even though it's only 25% now in my judgment. I would like to see it less, but I am not really sure how we're going to get to it.
Mr. Gurley, thank you for calling, sir.
Okay,
thank you. This is Night Call in New York, and Television News Tell It Like It Is. Our guest calling in from New York is NBC News correspondent Mr. Bob Teague. We'll return to Mr. Teague following station identification.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest NBC News correspondent Bob Teague after station identification. Monday night on Night Call, apartheid with a natural-born expert on the subject, black South African Wynton Nagin. Mr. Nagin now teaches American government and political science at Virginia Polytechnic Institute. Before he went to Oxford, he was an executive member of the National Union of South African Students, the semi-secret group who invited the late Senator Robert Kennedy to visit their country and just by his presence give them some hope for the future. Some of us speak of keeping them in their place. Mr. Nagin will tell you exactly what that means when carried to its logical conclusion, as it has been in South Africa. The police passbook that every black South African must carry, with separate pages telling him the only place he can work, or go to school, or even live. Apartheid, with black South African Wynton Nagin, Monday night on Night Call. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself collect from anywhere in North America to guest NBC News correspondent Bob Teague about Can Television News Tell It Like It Is? Call Night Call collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And we welcome our next Night Call listener from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Mr. Beach is hearing Night Call over WPBC. Mr. Beach?
Yes.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. I have a rather teasing question to ask perhaps you and Bob Teague. What would be your attitude towards exemplary diction standards on broadcast media? For instance, wouldn't it be better on radio and television to edit the phrase, tell it like it is, to tell it as it is?
I didn't understand. Would you repeat the question again, sir?
Yes. Wouldn't it be better to edit the phrase, tell it like it is, to tell it as it is? A grammar correction, I think. In the old times, radio was sort of a diction standard for the nation, and I wondered if this would apply now.
Well, if I may answer, I'll ask Mr. Teague to answer first.
My feeling is that when there is a phrase that has a particular meaning generally throughout society, it is perfectly correct to use it on the air. I think that broadcasting basically is the job of communication. And if there is something that is sort of sprung up in a sort of a
part of the culture, shall we say. I think broadcasting, to do its job of communicating, should tell it like it is.
All right, thanks.
Thank you for calling, sir.
You're welcome.
I'd just like to add my own comments. Tell it like it is. Right, it's soul talk, and it was born in the ghettos, and I think if you ask any of the brothers about it, they would say, well, you may tell it as it is, but I'm going to tell it like it is. I think the same thing we talk about socket, it was kind of interesting to find some of the political candidates saying, and we are going to sock it to them, baby.
Yeah.
With the wrong inflection. This is Night Call in New York, and television news, tell it like it is, and our guest tonight is NBC News correspondent Mr. Bob Teague. Mr. Teague, television has also been responsible for some good things as well as for some interesting things. And I think during the human rights movement, we have seen television give birth to a number of instant leaders in the black community. How do you feel about that?
Del, I'm glad you asked that question because it gives me a chance to mention one of the letters in my book, Letters to a Black Boy. I talk about the phenomena of instant leaders brought about by television and so on, people who are momentarily at least recognized by the power structure. And I am not opposed to that at all because I think all of these people who are recognized as black leaders, and I say this to my son in the book, are all marching to perhaps different music, but they are all on the same road trying to do something about the obvious problem. So it's not a question of whether they are recognized or whether they are right in everything they advocate or propose. The point is, they make this point, in my judgment. Collectively, they serve notice on that part of our country that I would call the racist element, that never again can the racist element in this country have peace of mind on their terms alone. That from here on out, desperate black men are going to be trying first this wild thing and that one until the basic wrong has been corrected. So I think, again, television is being an inadvertent ally of the black revolution.
Out to Bloomington, Indiana, for our next Night Call. Listener, Mr. Lundy is hearing Night Call over WFIU-FM. Mr. Lundy?
Yes, how are you, sir?
Fine, thank you. Your question, sir?
Yes, I'd like to ask Mr. Teague a question. I heard earlier about his statement about the TV industry's inability to sort of take the lead in pushing the issue, or particularly the race issue, so forth. But and I agree, I think his reasons were very good, but then I'd like to ask him if he thinks there's some alternative that TV might take, because sometimes I think just presenting the issues as they are leaves a lot to be desired. Because, for instance, in the riots in Detroit, for example, some people just get the impression that they see in the newspaper, you know, the people running through the streets and so forth. So this just sort of feeds their racism. And no reason is given, or no justification is given for the riots.
Sir, I have to disagree with what you're saying there, that no reason is given for the riots. Now, I can speak for my own network and say that it may not have been, a reason may not have been given for the riots at the moment the riot was taking place. But I know we have done in-depth studies of the kind of poverty, of the kind of denials, and the kind of racism that has taken place in Detroit and any place else where a riot has taken place and so on. And had people, not our own commentators, but we have talked with people in those ghettos and had them spell out their grievances. So, as I say, it may not have been done during the riot, which is kind of impractical in a sense. But this has been done, so that I think that's why you heard, for example, during the recent political campaign, some of the candidates would once in a while add the afterthought, law and order with justice, because it has become pretty well established now, I think, because of television more than anything else, that the people who riot are doing it for a reason. They are not just being destructive out of hand. There are long-standing grievances that have not been corrected, and that's why they are so frustrated, and that's why sometimes that frustration takes the form of a riot. So I think that point has been made to the people to whom that point can be made. Now, there is an element, a racist element in this country. No matter what you tell them on television, anything else is going to insist that black people simply should be kept in their place. But I do think that television has reached that part of this country that is thinking, so they know that you have to make some kind of gesture, some kind of effort to eradicate the evils of the ghettos.
Mr. Lundy, thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York. We return to our guest, NBC News correspondent Mr. Bob Teague, right after a reminder as to what will take place on Night Call next week.
Next week on Night Call, the first and only nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. a black South African expert on apartheid, a Jewish expert on the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, the founder and former head of the Congress for Racial Equality, a San Francisco minister to tell us what we have to be thankful for on Thanksgiving night, and psychoanalyst Eric Fromm. Monday, South African political science professor Wynton Nagin from Virginia Polytechnic Institute. Tuesday, social worker novelist Julius Horowitz. His latest book is called WASP. Wednesday, James Farmer. Thursday, the Reverend Cecil Williams, Minister of Community Involvement for the Glide Memorial Church in San Francisco. And Friday, Eric Fromm on Hope and Love. All this next week on Night Call. Again, Del Shields.
And this time, a local call from New York. Mr. Morris is hearing Night Call over WRVR-FM. Mr. Morris?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
First, before I get to a comment rather than a question, I'd like to make a preface comment to Mr. Teague. I've been aware of his writing ability and literacy when he was a writer for The Times. And I just happened to get a hold of a copy of Letters to a Black Boy. And I would like to say that Adam should be feel like a very fortunate boy for having such a beautiful father.
Well, thank you very much. That's one of the nicest compliments I've been paid.
Well, what I've read so far, it's quite a book. It's quite a book.
Thank you.
Now, I want to get a little sort of negative, if I may, not directly at you, but to the three networks combined. Mm-hmm. I don't, in fact, think that not so much are they telling it where it's at, but they're not telling it at a time where it's at should be told. I'm talking about 5 days a week, anywhere from 8 o'clock to 11 o'clock. That's when you have your prime time audiences.
Yes.
You don't have them from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock after. And devoting like one day a week, a Sunday, from 9 o'clock in the morning, when some people aren't even up yet, till all hours in the afternoon, where if it's a beautiful day, most people don't figure to be home, having the interviews and discussions with people in important areas of life, to me, personally, serves absolutely no purpose. If you're going to tell it where it's at, and you want to tell it to somebody when you know they're going to be home. That's anywhere from 8 o'clock on.
Sir, I couldn't agree with you more, except with this proviso. You have to understand certain realities about television. Now, I don't agree with these realities, but they are there to be dealt with. And the point is that we are talking about a multi-billion-dollar industry, which means stockholders and profit and loss columns and cost accountants who are watching the dollars and the rating system, which is where it's at in terms of money again. Now, let's face it. A lot of people in this country, and I mean black and white people, you know, when they get home, they sit down in that idiot box, as it's often called. You know, they want to be entertained. They don't want to be bothered with social issues. This is one thing that affects the ratings. The second point is this. Everybody has talked about the fact that television can be a great social innovator, a great message giver, a great educating instrument, and so on. It has not become that yet. I think that the point of view you express is the one that many people feel, and perhaps in time, if all of these elements, including yourself and myself, do what little we can in our own way to push it in that direction, it will become that.
Mr. Teague and Mr. Morris, Mr. Teague, Mr. Teague and Mr. Morris, we want to thank you so much. Time has run out on us.
It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. Mr. Teague, we want to thank you so much for being our guest tonight on Night Call.
Thank you very much, Dale. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. This is Del Shields in New York. Good night and peace.
Night Call, the first and only nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Monday night, same time, same station, Apartheid, with black South African Wynton Nagin. Listen Monday night. Discuss freely and responsibly your own personal opinions. Speak for yourself on Night Call. Produced by the United Methodist Church, presented with National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, American Jewish Committee, and Urban Coalition.